years of prohibition, he did so. The current president, Peña Nieto, has really shied away from this issue. And what I'm told by many people who know him personally in Mexico is the only thing forcing him to think about this issue and the only thing that will stir up the debate within Mexico is for California to legalize marijuana. You know, Washington and Colorado raised eyebrows, Oregon and Alaska raising more eyebrows, but California is sort of the big chinchilla as far as the Mexican debate is concerned. Because at that point, it becomes sort of absurd for Mexico to continue with a failed prohibitionist policy on marijuana, while meanwhile in California, they're taxing and regulating it. I think the other major consequence is that basically, Colorado and Washington forced a shift in the U.S. global drug policy that's turned out to be very significant in historic terms.
Ethan Nadelman, we want to thank you for being with us, founder and executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance. I'm heading to Washington, D.C. today. I'll be speaking at George Mason University at the Hub at 2 p.m. and on Sunday in Princeton, New Jersey, at Nassau Presbyterian Church at 1:30. Hope to see folks there. Go to the website, democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felser, Mate, Stu Martinez, Sam Alcoff, Hani Massoud, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our host, Joanne Hardesty. Today, we'll continue our analysis of the recent election.
Hey, fellow weirdo, this is Rich, host of Radio Lost and Found. Be sure to check out the show on its new time slot. That's every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight. Radio Lost and Found is a two-hour media escape of found records, tapes, found sound, internet insanity, and more. That's Radio Lost and Found every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, open daily December 17th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade art, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at Southwest Ankeny and NATO Parkway in Waterfront Park. Information at portlandsaturdaymarket.com. This KBOO program has also been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Volunteers of America, Oregon, committed to helping our community's most vulnerable people for over 100 years and to giving them a hand up rather than a hand out. More information is available on the web at voaor.org. And now it's time for Voices from the Edge.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. So we've had 48 hours now to come back from this November general election. And I wanted to spend a little time talking about some specific issues. First, around the next Oregon legislative session. Now that the governor has been reelected, and we can talk about what people think of that. The governor's been reelected. The Oregon House and the Oregon State Senate are both still in Democratic control. Both have picked up at least one additional seat, possibly two in the House. And what's the legislative agenda? And I also want to spend some time talking about why Measure 88 failed, which was the kind of half measure to create driver's cards for people who could not provide a birth certificate or prove citizenship in trying to obtain a driver's license. So why was that beat so bad? I also want to spend some time talking about Now that Oregonians are celebrating legalization of marijuana, what does that mean to the thousands of people who are serving time in Oregon prisons on marijuana conviction charges? What does that mean for Portland police, who just recently got a new grant to fight marijuana from the federal government? And so are we speaking out of both sides of our mouth when we talk about marijuana reform and good public policy? So those are the things that are on my mind this morning. But my listeners, I know you probably have a thing or two on your mind since this election has ended. And so if you'd like to join the conversation, give me a call at 503-231-8187. And I see I already have someone standing by. Hello, Sunny. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Joanne. How nice to have the opportunity to talk with you and get your views on things. And I think the things that you're bringing up to cover are really important, particularly in relation to now many people get to walk around and smoke their marijuana and enjoy it and all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, other people are sitting behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real important thought. And that hadn't occurred to me, so I appreciate your bringing that up.
Thank you.
I wanted to add something that I think is important, and I'll get to it quickly.
Okay.
The previous program before Democracy Now! Was the folk segment, Rise When the Rooster Crows, which I enjoy a lot of the folk music in the morning. And anyway, it's the fellow Paul was the host. I believe he hosts talk radio during the week.
Yes.
Yeah. And anyway, I called in to say thank you for featuring Native American music. You know, it's nice. It's Native American Month.
Right.
Would you please consider playing a song by off a CD called Spirit Nation, which is The Child is Sacred, which is something that is very strong with Native American people, especially in connection to the very sad event of the little boy who was thrown off the bridge in Newport by
yes.
his mother.
Yes.
Could we have that at the end of the show, perhaps, if you have it, or if that's what you would wish to do? Well, anyway, so I thanked him, and the show went on, and he featured a call-in opportunity to win tickets for a group that's coming to perform in Portland by the name of Rope and a Shovel. And anyway, I called him back, and I said, Rope and a Shovel sounds like lynching to me. Mm-hmm, it does. And I said something more unpleasant. Yeah. And then at the end of the show, he mentioned, and we did not get the song played about the child is sacred. That's all right. It's his show. But at the end of the show, he mentioned once again, Rope and a Shovel. And also the name of their latest album is Swim in the Water. And you know what I'm bringing out here?
Mm-hmm.
Passive aggressive, two-faced KBOO dysfunctionalism, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. I'm not going to listen to his show. I'm not going to buy all of his goody-goody left-wing or liberal kind-hearted talk, because when you throw Rope and a Shovel symbology into a Native American program and the history of this country, especially as we're trying to bring a word of strong concern about what's happening to our children, all the children, and I mentioned that. Let's bring concern for all the children, white, black, green, yellow. Let's do that. Let's get to work on it. And that's what he does. And there's a good example of KBOO deep dysfunctionalism.
Well,
and my family brought a lot of money to the KBOO station, and we still will again, and we certainly support a lot of shows. But I don't support that guy And well, I think it's passive-aggressive at best.
Sunny, I'm so sorry you had that experience. And you are absolutely right that you are you and your family have been wonderful, wonderful supporters of KBOO. But, you know, I think, is that not the society that we live in? I mean, I think I'm so glad and so appreciative that you took the time to call him and so that he can now not know, right? Because you took the time to let him know and you're taking time to let other people know. I think many people operate with ignorance because they just don't know what they don't know, especially about the history of this country and just all the inhumanity. I would love for you to talk to my engineer, Steve, and we will see if we have that song. And if we do, we could possibly play it as Voices from the Edge is closing out today. So I'm going to put you on hold. Sunny, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
So sorry your morning started off that way, because if you're like me, you just kind of carry that with you all day. So I hope we give you the opportunity to just let that go.
Well, Joanne, thank you. Thank you for your thoughtful ideas on this, as always. I appreciate that. May I say one more thing quickly?
Absolutely.
This election cycle just came through.
Yes.
Now, this is what we can get done. A 2-cent junk food tax across the state or local. We take that money, we build community centers where people can socialize and have recreation and the children can exercise. But additionally, there always be a warm place to come for stressed, distressed parents can get rest, support, and real connection to help to go back to their homes to stabilize things so the children can stay safe and the parents can recover, because a lot of times single parenthood and even two parenthood in this country is just about impossible.
Yes.
And we just cannot lose any more children. And a 2-cent junk food tax, we could do a lot.
Well, I hope you are in communication with our legislature. Because as I was riding in this morning, I thought when I heard Senator Peter Courtney talk about the next session, the first thought that came across my mind is Peter Courtney's been there for a long, long time. And they're really, I hope, when the Democrats get together to pick their leadership, that they are leading for the future and not, in fact, stuck in tradition of you know, just having the same leadership for way, way too long. So,
yeah.
But they didn't ask. They didn't ask my opinion, Sonny's. But
well, I'm glad we get your opinion. I'm glad.
Thank you so much for calling. And Sunny, don't hang up, because my engineer is going to get that song title, and we're going to see if we can make that happen at the end of the show.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Really appreciate your call. And so as Sunny has alluded to, there's certainly, I hope, other people are also thinking about kind of what is the legislation that we'd like to see move forward next legislative session. I hope someone will call me from the Yes on 88 campaign, because I certainly want to find out what their plan is for moving not just I hope not just an ID card, but actually a real live driver's license forward this next legislative session. And with supermajorities in both chambers, that should not be a problem. And so we will stay tuned to that to ensure that some movement happens next legislative session. But I'm curious as to find what you think caused so many Oregonians to vote in opposition to a driver's card. You may remember that last legislative session passed this pretty weak measure to allow people who couldn't show birth certificates or proofs of citizenship the opportunity to be able to get a driver's card. As you may know, may or may not know, there are many things you cannot do if you don't have an ID card. One is you can't get on an airplane. You certainly can't. You can't drive an automobile. There are many things that you can't do without a valid state ID card. And so this particular measure passed by the legislature and then referred to the ballot by an anti-immigrant rights group was voted on by voters who overwhelmingly voted to voted not to allow driver cards in Oregon. And so that, I think, is going to be a real problem, because I hope no one thinks that that means that people who cannot legally get a driver's card are going to somehow stop driving their automobiles on the streets of Oregon. And so we will have to deal with that, hopefully, in the short term. And hopefully the governor will show some leadership and actually put forth some legislation to make sure that we can continue to keep our roads safe. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Helen. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, you were just talking about the driver's license.
Yes.
But that's not what I was going to talk about. But
okay.
I want to say that, you know, in this country, we're supposed to follow the rules, do
yes.
everything right, and then we're supposed to vote on something that is not necessarily a rule, you know, that other people don't have to follow the rule in a way. I think part of the problem is we don't have a generosity of our spirits right now.
Hmm.
We are just so closed down and not feeling good about much of anything. So I think that's one of the problems. But the one thing I do want to say is that yesterday I got an email for the people who are, you know, for labeling the GMOs,
right.
And they said a certain amount of the ballots still are not in, and it doesn't mean that we lost and that we should find out on Friday. So I just hope maybe it will pass. So I wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you. I hope so, too. Yes, it's been pretty consistent, though. There's been a 2 percentage point margin, and I think they're now at 92% of the votes. But I agree with you. I hope it ultimately passes, because what that would mean is that Oregonians didn't listen to that $20 million in big money that came from outside of the state to try to sell us on how bad this measure was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the fact that yeah. it's so close also is heartening, because that means even with that influx of big money, many Oregonians were able to see through those TV ads and those mailings.
Right. Well, from your program, when they said the idea that Monsanto should be proud of what they're putting in, you know, labeling, they should be proud.
Right.
So I decided to call Monsanto and Procter & Gamble and to give my message that they should be proud of what they're doing
right.
and be willing to label. And, you know, they have probably young girls working there, and
right.
they're very nice, and they'll pass on the word. So that's some place that people can still try, just the company itself, to say, you know, but it might not work, but still it's a try.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you. And thank you for doing that. How wonderful that you took action. It wasn't just enough to say, I'm going to vote yes, but I want these companies to know why I'm voting yes. Thank
yes.
you for doing that. That's courageous.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Have a great day. Thank you for calling. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. What are your takeaways from this 2014 election? I talked at the beginning of the hour about a couple of things I wanted to cover. I'm going to head back to the phone lines. Hello, Charles. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hello, Joanne.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think, you know, for those of us who have not still come to our senses and quit the Democratic Party, we really need to prod one another and gather together and talk about who are these fellow Democrats that can turn out to reelect John Kitzhaber and can turn out to vote to have marijuana with a huge sin tax on it, and can't pull together to keep the roads safe and have a sensible option for people who don't have a birth certificate, which includes lots of people born in America.
Yes, my dad included.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I got an 88-year-old dad who couldn't find his birth certificate if his life depended on it.
And
right.
So I hope some partnerships, maybe even including yourself and people like Nick Caleb and our winning elected officials like Alyssa Kenegar will get together and have this conversation about the brokenness and the miscommunication inside the Democratic Party. You know, Measure 88 was right there in the basement of the Hilton with the governor and with Jeff Merkley, and yet apparently John Kitzhaber and Jeff Merkley don't really have any political capital or coattails to communicate, you know, to this weird segment of voters who can vote yes on 91 but not follow through down to the next dot and vote yes on 92.
Well, you know, it's even worse than that, because quite frankly, these Democratic legislative leaders had the ability to pass and then implement legislation that would have just allowed for a driver's license, period. They chose not to do that. So they tried to have it both ways. Well, we're not going to give people full driver's license, so we're going to give them this kind of half ID-like thing.
Yeah.
And so if we had real political leadership, they would have been clear about why driver's license were necessary for anybody who would be on the roads in Oregon and why they were working to make that happen. So, you know, I agree with you. I think that there needs to be a meeting early before the legislative session starts, and they need to have a legislative plan about what's the next step, and what can the governor do through executive order to actually make it better.
I'm glad that you raised that issue, because I think that, you know, as we're seeing with the immigration situation, you know, with President Barack Obama, that some immigration functions, you know, are under the executive branch.
Right.
And, you know, we definitely need to hold Dr. Kitzhaber's feet to the fire to get him to follow something like good medical ethics for all of us. So I look forward to talking to him. We're about to go down to the Oregon City for the courthouse to Francisco, the guy seeking sanctuary in Augustana.
Oh, yes.
Church is going to try and, where it's just another executive thing, you know, where they, maybe we'll fingerprint you. We'll tell you you need to get fingerprints, and then we'll tell all the state agencies not to take your fingerprints.
Well, yeah. thank you for showing up and bearing witness, because I know Francisco and his family needs the community to be bearing witness to what transpires.
Thank you, and look forward to hearing the rest of your show on our way down there.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Want Sunny to know we found Spirit Nation, and we're going to do that at the end of the program. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Francis. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning, Francis.
Hi. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
I can say I'm glad that Senator Merkley was reelected.
Yes, me too.
Also, I'm happy about the marijuana bill. I do agree that it's probably going to be highly taxed, and people who buy it now on the street may not be able to afford it at the marijuana store. I don't know, but anyway,
yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out.
The driver card, I've talked to some people who said they voted against it because of the way it was presented as a second class citizen card, kind of like, or
really,
or something that would just alert police officers that this person, for whatever reason, doesn't have the documentation to get a regular license. So it was almost like identifying people as not being citizens.
So you had people that thought it would cause more harm than good that you talked to.
Right, and that it was just a way to mark people, so to speak.
Huh.
And also, like you said, if they wanted to, they initially were going to figure out a way to keep to get license. And that's what they should have done, rather than coming up with this card business. So that, I think, if it was presented more
straightforward
mm-hmm. and more equally, you know, as equal citizens or as equal people or whatever, it might have passed. It to many it rung of marking people as second class.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't heard that perspective before, Francis, so thank you for that.
And also, as far as the national goes, Republicans control both houses now.
Yes.
So let's see what's different. I mean, I don't see that anything's been different when the Democrats were controlling because they didn't have any chutzpah or whatever you call it.
Chutzpah.
So we'll see what's different now that they have control, if they're just going to continue to give the president a hard time about every little thing he tries to do, or he's just, I believe, in his last years, he's just going to have to use his executive orders all over the place. And the Senate can have a fit about it if they want to, but that's what he's going to have to do.
Yes, I
think. To get anything done.
I had a little hope of much taking place in Congress, and since the election, I have even less hope than that.
Right. Right.
Because, yeah, we're going to have.
True colors are going to come out real loud and clear, so that might be a good thing.
That might be a very good thing.
We can survive the next couple of years while they do it.
Well, I hope that while we're surviving, that we're also doing some analysis of voter disenfranchisement,
right,
which doesn't seem to move white Democratic lawmakers much at all.
That's another thing about this voter repression. A lot of people
yes.
didn't get the vote.
Yes.
And we don't
yes.
even talk about that. It's not even discussed.
And we don't talk about the fact that still in 2014, black people are standing in line for 6, 7, and 8 hours
right.
in the United States of America to vote. And then in the same states, white people can just walk in and out of their voting booths at their leisure. I mean,
right.
I don't understand how this is not a national conversation, especially
right.
for Democrats who are desperate for votes. You would think that they would have had this conversation long before Election Day. And of course,
right.
as you know, with the Supreme Court's gutting of the Voting Rights Act, Section 6, it has given these states permission to put these egregious ID laws in place that actually prohibit and stop people from exercising their right to vote. So, you know, I mean, I think if the Democrats don't fix this between now and 2016, they deserve what they get.
Because there is a list, apparently, of people that they say are voting in two different states, double, but it's just people with the same name. And
well, right.
Apparently that's being used.
Greg Palast was on yesterday and last week talking about this
yeah.
organized effort, national effort, by this company that has been hired by Secretary of State all over the U.S. Who have, yeah, if your name is John Williams and you voted in Oregon, then if your name shows up in North Carolina, then you have voted twice. It's ludicrous.
Even though you have a different middle name?
Well, I mean, they're supposed to match a lot of information that they don't. But thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Have a great day. 503-231-8187. Takeaways from the 2014 election. Good morning, Jake. Welcome to KBOO.
Well, good morning, Joanne. Thank you so much for the conversation. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, with the Measure 88, you know, it kind of ultimately for me comes down to, number one, just a racism of, we don't want those people, and we oftentimes have so many boundaries of what those people mean,
mm-hmm.
to have ID. And as you were just mentioning, it's so funny where the conservatives push for ID laws in certain states as a way to alienate people. But then in states like Oregon, we don't want people to be ID'd as a way to alienate people.
Right.
And it really shows how, you know, people, when it comes to race or when it comes to, you know, the rights of people or voting, they can use the one weapon in so many different ways. Of, you know, in Ferguson, you saw so many people being required to have ID to vote, even though Missouri is not a required ID state, or in states where they require ID. But then here, we have a community of people who are seeking to have IDs. They say, we want to be legal, we want to be legitimized, we want to be safe, we want to follow the laws, but we don't allow them to.
Right.
And it's just so funny that they use the same thing in two different ways to either say you have to have it to participate or you want it but you can't have it. And it's just ultimately it comes down to a racism and a conservative view of are you in or are you out, are you like us. If you are, great, here's all the resources. If you're not, sorry, then you can't vote, you can't drive, you can't be safe, you can't have ID. And it's just a really sad state of affairs.
Yes, it is. I absolutely agree with that. So, I hope, I think that we, the people, have to put pressure on our legislative body to fix this. To just fix it, right? To whether that's an executive order, whether that's a legislative mandate, I think we just need to, we the people have to put pressure on our legislators to not leave this next legislative session that starts in February, which isn't that long away, without making sure that everyone has access to a driver's license.
And to have just a consistency of our view. We have so many people voting in essence to decriminalize marijuana,
right?
But by our vote, which is great, and I'm totally, I voted to legalize it, I'm not opposed to it, but to me it seems like there's definitely some white privilege happening where we have all these people standing up to decriminalize marijuana, but when it comes to essentially decriminalizing illegal driving,
right,
we're completely absent on that vote. And we want there, it's a matter of love for people. A friend of mine has students who are, parents are working two jobs, they're young, they're required to drive their siblings to school,
right,
they're getting very little sleep, and they're afraid to do so because if they get pulled over as a young person, they're not the parents, they, they're younger siblings could potentially be taken away.
Right.
It becomes a whole ICE issue. They can potentially be fined or go to jail for driving without a license. And it, has huge drastic effects on their families.
Yes.
Where they're just saying, we just want to drive safely and do it legally.
That's right. And we're productive. We're trying to go to school. We're working. It's not like we're, joyriding through town every night.
Right.
And that's why we want a driver's license. Thank you.
And a lot of the Portland progressives will totally stand up to vote to decriminalize marijuana, but we won't do the same for people. And it seems like it's a misplaced progressivism when we promote marijuana over the rights of our brothers and sisters in our own state.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. And
thank you, Joanne.
You have a very great day.
You do too. Bless you.
Thank you. Bye now. 503-231-8187. What are your takeaways from the 2014 general election? If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Good morning, Richard. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne, and thank you for giving us another shot at rehashing this again. I've got a few comments to make about Measure 88, and I also I'd like to clear up a piece of business that you and I left hanging last week. We were talking about the single Oregon's constitutional requirement at Article 4, Section 20, of a single subject in every piece of legislation. And you were saying that it applied to ballot initiatives, but that measure existed in the original Constitution before ballot initiatives became a legal reality. So it's really about all bills and laws shall embrace but one subject. Anyway, that's the backdrop. And then I want to let everybody know that our seasoned legislators are folks that we have, Jeff Merkley, we reelected him, and Mr. Courtney, who got reelected again, signed in 2007, they signed legislation that said, in order to do traffic enforcement on the highways, highways have to be open to the public. And open means without the necessity of a key or permission. But
so, Richard, cut to the chase. Richard, cut to the chase.
I just want the courtesy of enough time to lay out my
You did this last week.
You didn't make any sense last week. You're not making any sense this week. If you have a question or a comment.
A single subject. Let me try again. A single subject.
Richard, I'm going to have to move on because I'm not getting what you want to tell me. Okay, either give me a concise point or we got to go.
One is different than two. One is different than two, right?
Richard, make your point. Otherwise, I'm moving on.
I want to make it clear.
I will see you later, Richard. Bye. Have a good day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Larry. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hi, Joanne. You know, I may be missing something here, but I was out with some fellas last night talking about the election, and I supported the driver measure.
Right.
But this guy I was with, he did not, and his question was, and this is my question to you, which maybe you've already answered, you know, when I went and renewed my license, I had, now after 9/11, you got to show passport or, you know, birth certificate.
That's right.
So this guy was saying, who opposed the driver's thing, how does, say, an illegal... Before we go on,
let's just call undocumented, right? Because people aren't illegal, right?
No, I agree. So an undocumented would then not show a birth certificate per se. That's this guy's argument. And then the, you know, documented person, you know, there's like you set up a two-tier system, and that's part of the argument that I think some of these. I mean, I know there's other issues, obviously, but that's one of the fair kind of logical arguments these guys use to oppose this kind of a measure.
Was that it would be a two-tier system, and that is accurate, right?
Yes.
So, like, I use my dad as an example. My 88-year-old dad does not have a birth certificate because the hospital that he was born in has burned down 50 years ago.
Right.
And so if he was trying to get a driver's license in Oregon, my dad would be not eligible to get a driver's license, right?
Okay, I got you.
Right? And so even though, I mean, he's never lived any other country but the United States of America, in Oregon, he would not be eligible. So when 9/11 happened and the federal law changed that said now in order to get a driver's license, you have to prove citizenship, which, you know, had never been prior to 9/11, then they tied it to the highway tax. So if states didn't actually put these reforms in place that required citizenship for a driver's license, then states would lose their federal highway tax money. So that's why Oregon did it at the very, very last second it could possibly put this law in place. But what it didn't do was come up with a system whereby people who couldn't meet that threshold would still be able to legally drive in a state.
Interesting. That explained it clearly. And, it's pretty discouraging to see how some of these elections turn out. But you keep up the good work. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate the enlightening me.
You are welcome. My pleasure. You have a good day.
Thanks a lot.
And I think that maybe that is the challenge. Maybe people thought, I don't know, you know, Oregonians are kind of weird sometimes. Did they think we were giving people special rights? I don't know. But maybe that was the confusion. So I'm going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Leslie. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Joanne. I'm kind of baffled by people who still have faith in Barack Obama and kind of feel like he's been victimized, and it's like he's gone along with all of this 1,000%. I'm reading in the last week about him coming out with these condemnations of the Poles in the Ukraine. Barack Obama had nothing to say about the Poles in Ohio, and about the Poles in Georgia, about the Poles in Florida, about the disenfranchisement of black people all over the United States,
right.
But worrying about an election in the Ukraine that he has absolutely no control
no stake, right.
But now I'm making statements about it.
Yes.
Being over himself to suck up to Mitch McConnell and talking about how badly he wants to work with the Republicans and about how they're going to be working on the TPP and all these trade agreements. Where do people get this idea that Barack Obama is a hostage to Republicans? It's like all he's wanted to do is suck up to these people and be a corporate lackey since he was elected.
Well, and of course, I mean, I agree with you to an extent, but I do believe that he's been, I agree with you. I agree with you that when Obama was first elected, there was a lot of opportunity to make great things happen for this country.
Didn't he control both the Senate and the House at the time of his election?
Yes, yes. And that's
had control of both. He could have done what FDR did and shoved through as much progressive legislation as he wanted to in the first few weeks. What did he do?
But wait. So you were under the impression that President Obama was a progressive. He was not a progressive Illinois legislator. He was not a progressive United States senator. So what gave you the impression when he became president that he would...
Not only did I not have an impression, I supported Dennis Kucinich.
Okay.
But he was an improvement over the alternative.
Yes. No doubt about that. Well, and I feel your frustration. But I do believe he's been severely targeted just because he is the first black man to hold that position. I absolutely believe that.
He had no spine. He hasn't had his back. He hasn't spoken up. He'll maybe make some weak, half-hearted statement once and never again repeat it and hammer it home the way he needs to. He's been gutless. He's been cowardly. And he's been corporate.
Thank you for sharing your perspective this morning. I see you feel passionately and strongly about your position here.
Yeah, thank you, Anne.
Thank you. You too. Bye now. Thanks for calling. 503-231-8187. Don't hold back, callers. If you've got an opinion, we want to hear it. Hello, Sheila. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
Well, there's one thing that has not even come to the surface once in this whole campaign season, and that's the vote, the machines that are so corrupt.
Oh, yes.
It's 14 years.
Yes.
And why is nothing, and why has nothing been done? Why is nobody talking about it anymore?
Yes.
These machines are so corruptible that you can drive by in a car.
Yes.
And fix them.
And what pull the data off, yes.
I mean, what is going on? They've disenfranchised thousands of people, and they're still not dealing with corruptible machines.
Every state, the Secretary of State is responsible for the election, the integrity of the election. And so... Each of those states that you are referring to have Secretary of States who think that the machines that they're using with no paper trails, with the old machines in the black communities and the spanking new ones in the white communities, is absolutely intentional. I mean, that's why the Koch brothers spent the amount of money they spent buying this last November election. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why. And that's the technology they are now using to disenfranchise more and more and more black people. And in fact, Greg Palast yesterday said for the first time they've seen targeting of Asian American names for dropping off of the voter roll. So now it's not just enough to get the black people off and the Latinos off the rolls. Now they're going after Asian Pacific Islander voters as well.
Yeah, well, it's hard to me to believe that the Republicans won, honestly, and took over. Because with all the things that they have done,
right.
All the benefits, what they're doing is unconscionable. I fear for this country.
Me too.
I think in the next 2 years, this country could go down the tubes.
I think that these 2 years will give us the opportunity to decide whether or not the people are going to be fed up enough to take to the street. right?
I don't think the 2 years, I don't think there is an opportunity with the Republicans in charge.
Well, I mean, it's an
We have the TPP that they're going to push through. We have XL pipeline that's going to push through. They're going to push more fracking.
Yes.
They're going to do
yes.
everything.
Right, right. They're going to.
We've been fighting.
Right.
And I don't see how that we can get how we can get away with not having them accomplish all of this horrible stuff that they're going to destroy our country.
Well, you know what's sad? Well, the good news is that they actually don't have super majorities in the Senate anyway. They do in the House, but not in the Senate. So the good news is that, you know, they need a super majority to override a veto. The question is whether or not President Obama, and if you heard my last caller, she doesn't think so. But whether
I think he's a wuss. You know, I keep saying to myself, well, maybe the reason he sold everybody out is that, and I think this is very legitimate, that his family has been threatened. You either toe the line or you can say goodbye to your lovely family.
Well, you know.
We know that that there are people in the country that will kill anybody that
yes.
gets in their way.
Yes. Well,
know that.
Well, what we also know is that corporations are not loyal to any party.
Yeah.
The corporations
corporations are people. Why aren't they held
to the same right.
other laws that people have to abide by?
Well, so the point that I was just about to make was that corporations give money to the political party that's in power, right? And
right.
so they gave the Democrats just as much money as they gave the Republicans when the Democrats were in control. Now the Republicans are in control. The Republicans are actually the ones that own those voting machines that that you were talking about, right?
Right.
So what I think is that if the public wasn't paying attention up until now, these next 2 years, we will not be able to avoid paying attention to what's happening in this country. And quite frankly, I don't think Hillary is the answer to what the Republicans will move forward. So
yeah, I don't either. I think what we need is Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, but I won't hold my breath.
Well, I mean, Elizabeth Warren is my woman, so hopefully we will. But, I mean, that's what we're going to need. If we're really going to use the electoral process to really try to fundamentally move this country back in the direction we want to see it go in, we have to have a candidate that we can actually get people to believe in. And Hillary is not it.
Well, now people are already saying that Elizabeth Warren doesn't have the foreign policy experience.
Well, neither did Barack Obama.
You need brains.
Right. Neither did Barack Obama, but he
brains
became president.
And
yes.
And the will to fight. And she has it.
Yes,
she
does.
I don't think you need that political experience, the foreign policy experience.
No,
there's a lot of it that comes with common sense.
Right.
There's no common sense running our foreign policy now.
Well, and plus, you know, what my big fear is that Republicans are already talking about controlling the borders. And so their idea of fighting Ebola will be to be more restrictive of who can come into the country, who isn't white, European, and fit their criteria of who's appropriate and who isn't for immigration status. So
yeah.
to me, that was a huge red flag for me, because it's like, oh, so Obama's just started asking for money to fight Ebola. But the Republicans' response is, no, we need to tighten our borders.
Right.
So that's going to be the battle coming up. Thank you so much for your call this morning.
Thank you, Joanne.
You have a fabulous day.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Sam. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne. So I'm a Washington voter. I don't have a dog in your fight.
Okay.
And we don't get crap news coverage about our issues just across the river. But nevertheless, I just wanted to say briefly that this election was Obama's to lose.
Really? I didn't think it. Why do you say that?
Well, he's been such a dreadful disappointment. I voted for him twice, so shame on me. but he's taken the Bush policies and put them on drugs. I mean, he's attacked more whistleblowers than has ever been done in the history of this country.
True.
He's deported more undocumented people than any president in history. He's moot on the environment. I mean, I'm just heartbroken. So that's that. I wanted to raise the discussion to another level by asking you a question. What happened to the after party?
The after party.
Yeah, briefly, the kids that started Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, Occupy, right.
They started a political party called the After Party, and they were going to run local candidates in local elections, and they would support you if you decided you wanted to run for city council or a school board or something.
Right.
And we were all supposed to wear orange to signify our membership. I joined. I sent some money to their headquarters. They had one convention. They went to Detroit to work for the local people on whatever the local issues were.
Right.
And I haven't heard anything about them since.
Huh.
And I wondered if you had.
I have not. But I do know, at least in Portland, there's a group called Right to the City Coalition that's started about 6 months ago that's focused on taking over the Portland City Council in 2016. So they're actually looking at recruiting candidates, developing a platform, raising money and volunteers to support candidates for the Portland City Council. I also know of another group that is just about to form that's called Black Pack that will start a Black Political Action Committee that will recruit and support African Americans who are running for public office across the Portland metro area. I have not heard of any Occupy after party operating in Oregon or Washington as of yet. But if they are, hopefully they'll contact me and let me know how I can get that information out to the public. But you know, there's just so many things we have to do. We still have to be full participants in the electoral process. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that we're feeding better candidates into that process. And then we, the people, have to actually work for the candidates that we believe in and get out there, knock on doors, help them raise money. Because if we keep getting choices like in Oregon, we had Kitzhopper or Richardson, and Kitzhopper, you know, wasn't that good the first time he was governor. He's, you know, and he only squeaked by with 49%. And when you're running against someone like Richardson, who basically is an email guy, he's known because he sends emails to thousands of people across the state continuously. Dennis Richardson was the Republican candidate, and he got 44% of the vote. And so he's a guy known to be like crazy, and he got 44% of the vote. So it goes to show that people are desperate for change. They're desperate for new leadership. But our political systems are set up whereby you have to kiss the ring. And if you aren't in line in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party to kiss the ring, then it's not your turn to run. We got to throw that out of the window and actually start like getting our own people in office. Because guess what? We certainly couldn't do worse than the people we have in office right now.
That's why I was excited about this third party, because I just I just can't get it up for griping about the Republicans and hoping for the Democrats. Right. I mean, I'm exhausted, and
yes.
I was looking for something on the horizon.
Some ray of hope. Oh, but let me ask you something. So as a Washington voter, you have the top two primary finishers are then on your general election ballot, right?
That went down.
Oh, I thought you were in Washington State.
Yes.
No, you guys have that. You have it in Washington. We don't have it in Oregon. So I was going to ask you how that was working for you in Washington, but you don't know that it's working.
I don't know that anything's working.
Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate you calling in this morning. You have a fabulous day.
Bye.
Okay, bye now. 503-231-8187. We're getting minus on minutes, but we'll squeak in a couple more callers. Hello, Reggae Bob. How are you?
I am so glad I got in. First of all, Joanne, thank you for being back on the regular with losing a lot of people of color on our wonderful radio station. It's good to hear you back on the regular.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I had to have a little vacation this year.
Understand. We need you rested so we can kick A during the winter months.
You got that right.
Yes. Measure 91, legalize, regulate tax marijuana.
Right.
So glad it passed because of many numerous reasons. First of all, a lot of our callers today, they could have used that passing of Measure 91 a couple of years ago.
Yes.
People are tense, so uptight with so many measures. I mean, really, in life, all you have to do is wake up, breathe, get your air, make a living. People really tense themselves up a lot. But to help regulate that, we've got the wonderful Mary Jane coming legal in Oregon. And thank you, voters, for doing that. Reggae Bob, Peter Tosh, Bob Marley, we all are rejoicing today. Thank you,
Reggae. Thank you, Reggae Bob. And on that note, we are going to conclude the program because I promised Sonny that we were going to play Spirit Nation on the way out. Sonny, this is for you. The child is sacred. Have a great, great day.
Good morning. A couple minutes before 9 o'clock, you are listening to KBOO Portland.
We're about a half hour away from Fight the Empire. Host Per Fogring's in the building, and today he connects history with the latest world events, as he does always on his great show. At 10 o'clock, join us for Air Cascadia with cutting-edge news, views, and just plain horse sense with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints, investigative news journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. Today, we'll hear about feeding the homeless and getting arrested for it. Plus, we'll get an update on Palestine from the Electronic Intifada. At 11 on Between the Covers, we'll hear host David Naiman speak with writer William Gibson about his new novel, The Peripheral, a science fiction murder mystery that spans centuries. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk with host Patricia Welsh. Today's guest is Ezra Greenspan, author of the book William Wells Brown, An American Life. That is all coming up after Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell is your host for all the news you're not supposed to know. And that is up next.
In addition to being weird, Portland is becoming known in the tech industry as a city that fosters innovation. Many people working in the industry believe that new technology can solve problems, including social and environmental problems. Tune in this Friday at 11 a.m. for Disruptive Technologies and Human Design. Part 4 of Startup City, How the New Tech Boom is Changing Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock Pacific time in Portland, Oregon. This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your free, people-supported radio station, KBOO. I'm Teresa Mitchell, joining you for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. The midterm elections were largely unsurprising. Nationwide, no one even campaigned to stop the U.S. evil imperial wars, because it's not allowed to be an issue anymore, I guess. Our internalized imperialism, the incarceration state, the modern U.S. police state, also went unchallenged. We don't talk about that in elections. I voted knowing